This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I want to thank you for joining me today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Do You Wish Your Kids Ate Better? It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime family-friendly, fun, and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got a great show planned for you today, so make sure you grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. Our guest today is registered nurse and integrative wellness coach, Julie Moon. Julie is the founder of Healthy Cores, a company that helps people adopt a healthy eating lifestyle and reach their ideal weight. She teaches classes in reading food labels, understanding insulin resistance, and healthy home detoxing. And most important for our conversation today, Julie is an expert in low glycemic lifestyle. And you might ask, what is the glycemic index and how does it impact your health? It's something that you really need to know about. We're going to be talking with Julie about that, as well as some of the common myths surrounding it. Julie has so much to share with us on today's show, so I want to dive right in. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thanks, Janelle.
I'm really excited about today's conversation. It's not something we've really had much conversation with before on previous shows, and I know it's something that most people don't have any idea about. They may have heard it, but they don't have any clue what it is. And there's a lot of confusion out there. But before we get started, I want to ask you to tell our listeners just a little bit more about you and your background and what it means for you to be a wellness coach.
Well, I started out as a nurse, but if you can believe it, I never had any nutrition classes during my career as a nurse. And once I learned about nutrition, I realized it was my passion. And so I really enjoyed teaching others to make healthy choices. And as a wellness coach, I try to simplify the messages that people get because there's a lot of mixed messages as to what's healthy and what is not.
Well, and I love that. And that's what we do with Eat Great, Live Well Radio, is to really simplify a lot of those conversations. I'm actually really surprised that you had no nutrition training. It fascinates me that doctors have such little training themselves on nutrition and healthy eating, yet it's so fundamental to everything we do in making or keeping our bodies healthy.
And we're realizing that bad health now is responsible for a lot of the chronic disease. So it's really critical that, you know, we step up to the plate. I have had so many patients that I've had access to, and they tell me to eat right and lose weight, but they really don't have guidelines to make good choices.
Mm-hmm. I know. Don't you love that when you go to a doctor and they just say, you need to lose weight, so just eat better? It's like,
right. Okay,
if I knew what to do, I would have done it. Where am I supposed to start? That's a pretty big order.
It is.
So what's one of the first things that you start with people when they come to you and they know they need to eat better? Where do you even start with that?
I kind of do a general health assessment to find out what they're doing now. because it can be so overwhelming. And if you make some of the simple little choices, over time, they accumulate into a huge change. And so for a lot of my people, they think they're eating healthy, but when I ask them some simple questions like, how often do you eat between meals? And come to find out, some of them don't even eat lunch till 11 or 12 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I love the fact that, you know, you say simple little choices, because one of the things that I love to really reinforce with people and really challenge them is make one simple change each week, and at the end of the year, you will have made a big transformation to your health. If you made 52 changes in that year, they can be all small, but they add up to make a big impact, and the year's going to go by whether you do anything or not, so why not really make it a healthy, fun year?
Exactly. And that's great advice. I think I may have to use that. 52 choices, 52 choices in a year. But and it's not just about weight loss. There are little things people can do to increase and just be healthier. So it's a lifestyle. It's not a diet.
I absolutely agree. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, you know, I never like to talk about weight loss, because when you do that, it's always, if you say you have to lose it, you will find it again. So it's really about changing the words we use and kind of shifting our mindset. And I really believe, and I believe you have the same philosophy, is that it's really about adopting that healthy eating lifestyle. And if you do that, you're going to reach your ideal healthy weight. And that's often different than what we think that number should be, but you'll feel better, you'll look better, your health will improve. It just makes such a difference.
Exactly. And one of the big things is if you go on a diet, it sort of indicates that at some point you'll come off it. Mm-hmm. But if you change and make it a lifestyle, you can eat that way all the time, and you don't have to think twice.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about what your Healthy Cores program is.
Well, it pretty much sums up what we've been talking about. It's really making little changes over time to make a big change in the big goal of life in a big way. And mm-hmm. we do it mostly through low glycemic choices. And here in the United States, it's not a second nature for us, especially because of the way our foods are labeled.
Mm-hmm. So the whole foundation of it is built on the those low glycemic choices?
Pretty much. And what glycemic means is sugar in the blood. Mm-hmm. And so a low glycemic diet would be consuming 80% of your foods are foods that would cause the least amount of increase in your blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is predominantly like in your carbohydrates, which we love to blame everything on carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you eat good carbohydrates, you know, it shouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm. So can you expand a little bit on that? Because I know that when people hear the word carbohydrates, they say they can't eat any. But people don't understand that there are carbohydrates that are good and healthy, and there are some that you really should avoid.
Well, I really have issues with experts who recommend that you cut out a whole food group, especially carbohydrates, because we weren't meant to give up a whole food group, and they really have an important position in our overall nutrition and health. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is if you cut them out, you can affect your blood clotting, you affect your immune system, and, of course, the food just doesn't taste as good if you don't get any carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
And you should enjoy eating. It should be fun. It should taste good. And mm-hmm. good food, healthy food can taste good.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's an interesting point, that when a lot of people are going on a diet, when they're, you know, trying to really lose weight versus shifting the choices that they're making and learning how to make healthier choices, what they do is they deprive themselves of flavorful food. They cut out whole food groups. They really make those extreme choices. And as we know, and from watching people and coaching people, when you do that, you lose that satisfaction factor. And when someone tells you you can't eat chocolate, the only thing you think about is that chocolate and when can you have it. And eventually, you're going to break down and eat it. And if people just know that they can take a little bite and understand that the flavor usually comes from those first couple of bites. So really take them, taste them, savor the flavor, really enjoy them, then people will have it and then they'll put it down. And I always challenge people then after you're not getting that real flavorful sensation to stop eating it. We tend
right.
to just eat because it's in front of us, not because we're hungry, not because we're enjoying the flavor. And if we start paying attention to some of those things, we don't have to go on a diet and give up whole food groups to be able to get to the weight we want and to be healthy.
Exactly. And a lot of it, it's not perfection. It's just better choices. So the Healthy Course Program, we say if you eat the better choices 80% of the time, a moderate or pretty good choice 20% of the time, and then only eat the things that you truly know aren't as good for you once in a while, or you can have anything you want to eat on your birthday.
Hmm. Interesting. And I think it is about that 80-20 rule, paying attention, you know, to what make those really good choices most of the time and give yourself permission to enjoy. Doesn't mean you have to overindulge or stuff yourself, but really enjoy it and not feel like you're being deprived.
Exactly.
So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to have you share with us what your big why is, why you're really motivated to help people get healthier, and then go in a little bit more on helping people understand what low glycemic foods are and maybe give us some examples, because I know people are often very visual, so maybe some examples would be very helpful. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Julie Moon with Healthy Cores, and we're having a great conversation today about just healthy eating, and we're really going to focus on low glycemic foods. I think it's important for everyone to understand what that means and how the choices you make really impact your health. But before we do that and have Julie share some examples with us, I'd love to ask you, Julie, because I love to ask this of all my guests, what motivates you to live a healthy life and to share your message with others? We call it your big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to live healthier and help others live healthier?
Thanks, Janelle. About 6 years ago, I had been living with fibromyalgia as a diagnosis, and that's where you have, like, you can have severe pain in your joints, a sleep disorder, and some other symptoms. And when I would go to the doctors, they basically told me that they didn't know what caused it, but they all had suggestions, and everything that I tried, nothing seemed to help. I took a lot of medicines, and I tried alternative therapies, but nothing really set in until I discovered, with the help of a nutrition doctor, I was introduced to a low glycemic diet, which tends to be anti-inflammatory, and it gave me my life back. So that's my big why, and up until then, I don't think I realized how important good nutrition is it just helps in playing such a big role, especially when you have a health issue. It can help, I believe nutrition can help you heal yourself. And I think we really underestimate the power of nutrition. So that's my big why, and now it's become my passion for helping other people.
Well, and I can understand that because I know people that have fibromyalgia, really, it can be debilitating. I have a sister-in-law who has it, and I know it can be very, very debilitating and really impact the quality of life.
Right.
So that's great. And you mentioned something that I think comes up that maybe I can ask you to talk a little bit more about, because you said the low glycemic foods are anti-inflammatory. And I know people hear that term, anti-inflammatory, but can you explain a little bit about what that means and how that impacts our health?
Certainly. Inflammation, and there are certain foods that are more prone to cause inflammation, especially carbohydrates, that because they turn into sugar, and inflammation and the disease process can actually feed off of what's produced by carbohydrates, because they're essentially long chains of sugar. So when they break down, they can possibly be some of the cause for those aches and pains, especially if you're not exercising or drinking enough water to help keep those joints healthy. Would you like me to kind of explain a little now about low glycemic eating?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So what happens when you break down especially these carbohydrates? Your blood sugar spikes, and then insulin kicks in. Well, over time, we tend to spike our blood sugar way too high, and more insulin has to come in because it's our fat storage hormone. So it comes in and lowers the blood sugar, but as it does, if you spike your blood sugar way high, then your blood sugar will drop way low, below normal. And the average American does this 3 to 5 times a day. And when you put that over years and years, that's when people's health start to develop some chronic illnesses. And so if we looked at the glycemic index and made choices where it would not spike our blood sugar, rather than a big spike up and down, we would actually have sort of like, instead of a roller coaster, we would sort of have rolling hills to our blood sugar. And that helps keep our energy constant, our weight constant. And as long as you're spiking your blood sugar, for all the women out there that are interested in losing weight, I know some women who exercise a lot and never can seem to lose the weight. And a lot of times the simple answer is because you're spiking your blood sugar. Glucagon is our fat-releasing hormone, and it's completely opposite of insulin. So if you spike your insulin, your glucagon cannot go up and do its job. So a couple of simple examples of this, and again, it's all about choices. So a high glycemic potato would be like a russet potato, a white on the outside, white on the inside. And a better low glycemic choice, and of course, potatoes are almost always going to be considered moderately glycemic, which means they'll raise your blood sugar a moderate amount, but as long as you limit your portion, it should be fine. So you would want to choose a red potato or a sweet potato instead of, say, a russet or a white potato. Same thing with rice. Brown rice and basmati rice, or a really good wild rice, is going to be a lower glycemic index than, say, white rice. And there are a lot of countries in Europe, Australia, where they actually eat according to the glycemic index. And so their foods are labeled, and it's easier to make a healthy choice. So as Americans, we've got to start looking at our foods and how they're processed, as and a lot of it's getting back to eating whole foods because they tend to be lower glycemic or not have as much of a sugar or insulin response once you eat them. Did that make sense? Any questions that popped up during that explanation?
That was actually really interesting. So I have like three or four questions, and some are related and some aren't.
Okay.
I was talking to someone yesterday, and she's kind of in that that age where, you know, the hormones are changing, kind of going through the change. And she was saying that she's eating healthy, but she can't lose weight. And I would, if I understood what you're saying correctly, I think if she goes back, and we talked about that, she's got to look at the types of food she's eating, but would that be a good case where she should really look and maybe try to eat lower glycemic foods that are lower on the index, versus she might be eating more things that have more sugar in them?
Exactly. So she can make better choices, low glycemic, and so that her blood sugar stays more stable. The other thing she can do is she can also eat more frequently, so that if you eat every 6 hours, that's too much time. Your body, your blood sugar will drop even though you're not aware of it sometimes. So you really need to keep that stable so that you can keep your energy level stable, as well as your body is going to look for more carbohydrates, more calories, in order to boost your energy, because it knows that your blood sugar is dropping. So you, by keeping it stable, you can actually prevent or keep from adding additional weight or calories.
I would bet that one of the things she's doing is going longer between meals. And I think one thing that people tend to do is when they work in an office, which I know she does, they tend to have snacks around, and they tend to be more processed food. And I know for me and a lot of people that I see, we tend to grab some of those things, but we do it unconsciously. We're not really paying attention to what we're eating, why we're making that choice. Are we bored or really hungry? And then we're not paying attention to when we're full. So
right.
how many times, you know, have you heard people say, well, I don't know what happened to that bag of food, and they just ate it. I mean, it's because we get busy. We're on the computer, we're on the phone, we're doing certain things, and we just keep eating or snacking, not really paying attention. So I think people tend to eat more and not make as good a choice when, because they really aren't paying attention. So I always challenge people to start eating more consciously, and also pay attention to when you're eating because you're bored or you're really physically hungry. I love when I ask people to describe what physical hunger feels like to them, and they can't describe what that feels like. The symptoms they explain are more emotional eating triggers versus physical eating triggers, which is really just fascinates me.
Well, and the other thing that happens, if you're not keeping a stable blood sugar, once it starts to drop, the number one organ that wants a stable energy and blood sugar level is your brain. And so it actually makes a chemical response that says, I need to eat, and I need to eat now, and get me something out of that snack machine that I can have. And so sometimes it's not just emotional, but you know you've got to have something, and the only thing around is that bag of chips or a salty or processed food and not a good snack like an apple or nuts, something of that nature.
It's always good to plan ahead. We need to take another real quick break. And when we come back, I want to continue this conversation. And I'd love to maybe have you share a couple of examples of either on both ends, low glycemic foods that might surprise us, and then some foods that might be on the high on the index that might also surprise us. Because I think that would help people start to put some perspective into some of the choices that they're making. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. That's managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Julie Moon from Healthy Cores, and we're having a great discussion on just on healthy eating, but also on the glycemic index and healthy choices and not so healthy choices. And I'm learning a lot. If you missed the last segment, you absolutely need to go back and listen to it to get a real good foundation and not too much science, but just the right amount of information to help you better understand it. And I'd love to ask you, Julie, if you could share maybe what are a couple foods that we might be surprised about that might be healthy, so they're on the low end, the low side of the glycemic index, and then some foods that people may choose thinking they're healthy, but they're actually on the high end, and maybe foods we shouldn't eat as often.
Great question, Janelle. So I have a question for you, and what did your grandparents eat for breakfast? Do you remember?
Well, I know they ate oatmeal and probably eggs, toast, and bacon.
And surprisingly enough, those are really good choices. And so what we feed our children today, the number one choice is actually very high glycemic. There are very few cereals in the United States that are considered low glycemic. So when you start a child off during their day and the first thing they do is spike their blood sugar, their studies show that they will take in more calories during the day. Isn't that something?
That's really interesting. So I guess that would work for whether it's your kids or whether it's you as an adult when you're starting your day. I know a lot of people start their days with an energy bar or yogurt, and I know some of those things are so high in sugar.
They are. And just like some of the cereals that say, ooh, we're healthy, will help you lower your diabetes or your cholesterol, they actually, in fact, are very high glycemic. And so I just wanted to make a little reference. So for the glycemic index, it's just a number that tells us how fast a certain food will make your sugar go up. And so they assign it a number based on tests, but all the number does is puts it in a category. And we like to categorize them by low glycemic, meaning a low response to the sugar, and they're moderately glycemic, and then high glycemic. So another example of this that may surprise you, I know at the hospital, a lot of doctors, they're all eating oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is they think they're doing something healthy, but they're eating instant oatmeal. And instant oatmeal may surprise you because it's oatmeal, but it's high glycemic. So any guess what a moderate glycemic oatmeal might be?
Would it be the longer cooking?
It is. And so that tends to be not the quick oats, but the mm-hmm. old-fashioned oats that you actually have to cook.
Hmm.
So it, and I've got a couple of suggestions for how to get around that. You can cook them the night before in a crock pot and put them on low, and they'll be ready when you get up in the morning.
Hmm.
You can also let the oatmeal sit in water overnight, covered. And that will help reduce the amount of time, because that's what keeps people from eating the good oatmeal, is mm-hmm. it takes so long to prepare. And then, of course, the third thing, which I've learned over the past few years, and you can cook up that whole container of oatmeal and then freeze individual portions, and it does not change the taste or texture of the oatmeal.
That really surprises me, because I wouldn't have, I never would have thought that. I would have thought it would be all mushy and would change it. Interesting.
Yeah. And then, so the lowest glycemic oatmeal choice that you can make is actually steel cut oats. And that's more along the oatmeal that our grandparents ate. Because all of the nutrition and enzymes and fiber and is all intact. It has minimal processing. So it actually is the lowest on the glycemic index.
Interesting. Now, I want to go back to the quick oats, because is it that it really, it's, there's so much processing in that, or is it because so many of those quick ones have sugar added? They have, you know, you usually get the like little flavor packets where they're maple and brown sugar. I mean, they're those are such high sugar, or is it just all quick oats?
It tends to be the process as well, because they've broken it down, and in some cases they've taken out some of the nutrients that keep your blood sugar from spiking. So it tends to be in the processing. So when you have a steel cut oats, if you ever pick up the container and shake it, mm-hmm. it almost sounds like pellets, because they're more small and round. And so an old-fashioned rolled oat, mm-hmm. all they have really done is they've run it through a couple of rollers. And if you, next time you get some oatmeal, mm-hmm. Before you cook it, look at it. All they have done is rolled it out, but that decreases the amount of time that it takes to cook it. Mm-hmm. But it also, the processing takes out some of the nutrition as well.
That's really fascinating.
Isn't that something? And who knew that? I've never had a doctor tell me that.
No, that's really interesting. And you did a great job of explaining that. So thank you very much. You know, we often hear a lot about blood sugar and how it relates to diabetes. But is eating low glycemic foods really, you know, mostly or, you know, recommended for people with diabetes or those who are pre-diabetic? Or is it really, I know it helps keep the blood sugar down, but does it really make a difference? Should more people be doing that?
It really does. I met a man just last weekend, and he has worked with a dietitian, and he says it's funny. He's eating much better, but he hasn't released much fat. And it's taking a long time for his blood sugar to come down when they measure it. Mm-hmm. And so I just for fun asked him what some of the things are that he eats for lunch. And he is still eating highly processed food. So even though it may look like a really balanced meal because it has a fat, a fiber, and a protein, and the good carbohydrate in it, if it's, say, maybe a boxed frozen meal, it may not have the same type of nutrition and will actually spike your blood sugar. So it for diabetics, just because it says it's a diet food, doesn't mean it's still good nutrition. So that can make a big difference to a lot of diabetics or people that want to reverse and keep from getting diabetes.
Interesting. And I think it's really important to remind people that a lot of packaging and a lot of foods have claims and say they're good for certain things on the front of the package, but those are marketing claims. Those are claims that are meant to sell the product. In order to really understand what's in the product and, you know, how much sugar is in a product, you really need to turn it over and read the labels. That's why I love that you help people learn how to read labels. I was at an event and someone brought some snacks and they had yogurt. So we were reading the label because I love to show people how to read labels too when I get an opportunity. And it was like 20 grams of sugar in this yogurt, and that's a lot of, that's 5 teaspoons of, if I did my math right, that's 5 teaspoons of sugar. And I don't think people realize how much sugar they actually get in the foods that they're eating. And I think that's a great place for people to start, is reading those labels.
Exactly. And right now in the United States, they do not differentiate on the label. So you really don't know if the sugar that's on that label occurred naturally, like in the case of tomatoes, they tend mm-hmm. to be high in sugar, or if it's something that was added So it's hard to tell if it's added sugar. So you've got to learn to read the labels and know what those different words mean, like dextrose, hydrogenated oils, because they're all key words that tell you exactly what you're eating. So in the case of yogurt, the big push right now is for, especially with diabetics, we encourage them to eat Greek yogurt that they sweeten themselves with a natural good sweetener, and even some real fruit, and that tends to be better. And when they pick their Greek yogurt, on the label, they are looking at the sugars and the protein. And you always want to have more protein than you do sugars when you're picking out Greek yogurt.
Oh, that's an interesting little tip. So that's an easy way for someone to figure it out. And we need to take another real quick break, but I want to ask you before we go, because you mentioned it, where would something like tomatoes fall? I don't know, I'm putting you on the spot, but where would that fall on the glycemic index? Do you know offhand?
It would be considered low, even though it has natural sugars in it. But if it's an unprocessed, straight out of the market, whole food, it actually is low glycemic.
So that's a great thing for people to remember, is they remember those natural foods that we're talking about, eat the way you're more like your grandparents did. So we need to take our final break. And when we come back, I want to talk about cravings and how those, the foods that we choose, show up on the glycemic index. And I also want to talk about kids and the foods we're serving our kids. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Julie Moon with Healthy Cores, and we've been talking about healthy eating. We've been talking about the glycemic index. We've been talking about sugar and choices and getting some great education on foods we think that are healthy that probably aren't as healthy and foods we might not be choosing that we should look at choosing more. And I'd love to ask you, Julie, many people have food cravings, so can you explain how the glycemic index is related to the foods we crave? Are the foods we crave high on the index, low on the index? How does that all work?
Frequently, if you drop your blood sugar and you do that repeatedly, what that sets up is actually a craving. So you don't even know that your blood sugar has started to drop below that normal level, and that's creating the craving. So have you ever been eating Chinese food and within an hour you're hungry again?
Mm-hmm. All the time.
So did you ever wonder why that happened? Hmm. What is it that you ate that is causing that? It's the white rice.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting? So what it does is it runs your blood sugar up during the meal, and then within an hour after eating, it makes your blood sugar drop. And one of the reasons is that really pretty white rice that everybody loves called jasmine rice is 109 or 114 on the glycemic index, and 100 is, you know, pretty high. So 109 is right up there. So it's when you talk about cravings, one of the things you could do when you go out to eat is instead of white rice, a lot of Chinese places now actually carry brown rice, which is lower glycemic. And that would keep you from getting a craving. So, especially right after you ate.
Interesting. So if people are starting to get a lot of cravings, they should really pay attention to that spike in, you know, whether they're getting a gap between eating, because you talked about, you know, a lot of people go every 6 hours, but they really should eat more frequently, or to see if they were eating high sugar foods and then they get that drop. So they really should look at that, and then maybe they wouldn't have as many cravings as they as they're getting.
Right. And the other thing they can do is anytime you eat something that is going to be a little sugary or turned to sugar, make sure that you eat a good fat, fiber, or protein, because that will help slow down the absorption of that sugar or carbohydrate. So that will help even out, say, that big spike. Have you ever noticed what they give us when we sit down at a restaurant, the first food they bring us?
Bread.
So that's high glycemic. And so what they're doing is not only are you spiking your blood sugar, but you're going to be hungrier during that meal. And so their idea is they'll make more money because they'll be able to sell you more food because now you're going to want that dessert.
Interesting.
So,
you know, there's nothing, I have to tell you, there's very few foods that are any better, though, than a hot bread just out of the oven, at least for me. It's one of my favorites. So I try to limit it, but every once in a while I just have to give in to that.
So when you do that, what can you pair with that bread that will help slow down the absorption? Butter. Because it's a good fat, and so that will actually help. But if you could hold off and eat that salad first with a vinegar-based dressing, vinegar actually helps lower the glycemic index of everything in your meal that you eat afterwards. So you can still have that roll, just eat it after your salad, not before. It's just a choice.
Oh, that's interesting to know. So you can still have it, just eat it in the right order and with the right food combinations. Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. So let me ask you, is the glycemic index something we should monitor in the foods we serve our children, or is it really only important for adults?
It's terribly important where our kids are concerned because we can't be with them and provide the food sometimes that they have access to. And so we really need to build a great basis. The other thing is if they're not eating breakfast, that's like so important just to get those nutrients to keep them from crashing and burning in the morning. And so even the very frequently children that have eaten, if they ate a donut and a glass of orange juice, they're still going to spike their blood sugar and end up taking in more calories and their blood sugar dropping about 9 or 9:30 in the morning. So even for our children, it's really important to make sure that they get a balanced meal, especially first thing in the morning. The other thing that happens is if their body doesn't get that fuel, it will find it somewhere. And especially in children who are developing, it frequently will break down muscle to get that nutrition. So we really don't want to start that in our kids. We need to give them a good base of support early on.
Well, and it does, feeding them a healthy breakfast does also help in their performance. It helps when they have to take tests. it just helps in, you know, everything as far as learning better, because it really fuels our brain, because our brain does take, you know, it takes a lot out of our body to really, you know, perform it at its best.
Well, and Janelle, you know, I think all adults have experienced where you've gone too long and you start to feel agitated and sort of foggy headed and you can't think well. And we really need to, you know, watch that for our kids as well, because just like you said, if they were asking them to perform and they can't think, you know, that's really important.
It is. Matter of fact, I went through that last night because I had been out and came home late and hadn't had dinner and I was tired and I was hungry. And yeah, I try to not do that, but every once in a while it happens. And when it does, the good news is I know it pretty quickly now. I can identify it. So I think that's the first step for people, is to really pay attention to how their body feels.
Exactly.
You know, I believe that you can eat something and pretty quickly you know how your body feels if you pay attention. You can tell whether it agrees with you or doesn't agree with you or gives you energy or saps your energy. And when you start to do that, it really is, I think, one of the steps to help people starting to eat healthier.
Well, and so an easy tip is to always carry an emergency food. And it can be, even convenience stores carry nuts. Now, the best nut is a raw nut, but all nuts are good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we've been told, oh, some of them are high in fat, but those are the good fats. So
mm-hmm.
you could actually carry something in your purse or your pocket or your lunch mm-hmm. bag or your car. And it's just eating a handful of nuts will keep you from getting that bad craving. And
You know, and I know that, so thanks for the reminder. I'll have to put a little container in my car, so I've got that. You know, Julie, you shared so much with us today. How can our listeners get more information and connect with you and learn about what you're doing and learn about some of these options in more detail?
They could go to my website and they can request more information, but I'd also like to make available, one of the things that I give a lot of my new clients is a list called Pantry Purge, and it's a list to go through your pantry and maybe out with the old and bring in some new healthier choices. And they can go on GoHealthyCores.com and actually request that list.
Okay, perfect. GoHealthyCores.com. So what we'll do is we'll also put a link to you and your website on our EatGreatLiveWellRadio.com website with a link to this interview, so they'll be able to get you from there too. So thank you very much. I'd love to ask our guests to give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. So what would you recommend they do?
And you kind of touched on it earlier. Never eat in your car, standing up, or in front of the television, because that's unconscious eating. And you really want to sit down and enjoy your food and savor it. If you're not and you're eating it on the run or in front of the TV, or if you're eating out of a bag, you will have eaten that whole bag of chips without realizing they're even gone. So I think the biggest thing I can say is try to get back to sitting down and taking an actual lunch or dinner break and making the focus of that good conversation and savoring your meal.
Well, that's a great reminder and a great tip. So thank you very much. And thank you very much for all of the great information that you shared today. I know it will be very educational for a number of people and a great conversation. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you're welcome. So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life.
Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on Facebook and share your thoughts. Share your ahas and takeaways from today's conversation. And let us know what questions you have, and we'll make sure they get answered. Take care and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.